Pastor Robinson, and I will be your servant today. We are pleased to see you in the house of the Lord to worship God today. It is a glorious day to do that. Every day is a glorious day to worship our God.
Amen.
And I thank you for being here. I need to thank someone, I don't know who, for sending me flowers on my birthday. It said from the congregation, so I'm going to say thank you to everybody. Thank you. Thank you. I had a wonderful celebration. I appreciate you and appreciate that special thoughtfulness that you had for my birthday. And now, for our worship, we want to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Way you spell her name? Siemens?
Double E.
Double E.
M-A-N.
No S.
M-O-N. Two E's and M-O-N.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
My name is Gene Clark, one of our lay servants here at the church. We have about 10 of us, and we rotate around on different Sundays to one of our small tasks in the church is being the liturgist, and we are involved in a lot of different things that go on in the church a lot of times behind the scenes, and you're not aware of us. But I'd like to encourage anyone who would like to be a lay servant to contact any one of us, and we'll be happy to tell you what's necessary. We have two levels, we have the local lay servant, and we have the advanced lay servants, if you want to call it that, where we are eligible to go outside of our own church and speak in different congregations if a situation should arise. In addition to the announcements that you've seen on the screen, I'd like to point out that we do have the council meeting tonight at 6 o'clock and encourage everyone who would like to attend and find out what's going on and what will be going on in the church to come and attend that meeting. Remind the chairpersons that they should have their reports available so they can give them to the chairman at that time. Also, in conjunction with we have the newsletter that's available for those of you who have not picked up one already. They're in the hallway out on your right, my left. And if you would, be sure and get one of those. The beacon is there for your enjoyment and pleasure and keep you advised as to what is going on in the church. We will have children's church this morning, and Ms. Vicki Banks will be the leader. Remind you of continued support of W. Cherry, that during the month of September, we were requesting plastic pencil boxes and three-prong folders with the pockets in them, and if you would continue to bring those to the church, and we'll get them to them. And year-round, we're looking for a volunteer to bring clothing and stuff for girls and boys in the kindergarten through the sixth grade. Our pumpkins will be arriving next Sunday, and they're tentatively scheduled to be here at 4 o'clock. We need volunteers to help unload the van and also to put them out. In addition to that, we need people to sign up to help man the pumpkin patch during the month of October, and the poster is on the board outside of the office. If you would sign up, so if you can serve with that, it will begin at 12 o'clock during the week, and on Sunday it will be after church services. Okay, well, the big event we have coming up this month, or this coming month, is our Hop for the 50s. And Miss Nancy would like to add a few words about that this morning. Sure.
We've been talking about the Saturday night at the Hop. It's a 50s dinner. It's going to be on October 17th at 6 o'clock. And I just want to fill you in with a little information about it. We're going to have a lot of fun. We have some really great things planned. We're going to have diner food. Some of you I know remember diners in the 50s. In fact, I think there's still one in Palatka that's in operation. Diner food is hamburgers, hot dogs, all the fixins, baked beans, those kinds of things, and of course homemade desserts.
Omelets?
No, we're not going that far. But it's a good idea. You might want to try that. We're also going to have a Dressed for the 50s contest. Look through your closets and see if you have anything that you might wear as 50s clothes. We're going to have a prize for the best dressed man and woman. If you don't have any 50s clothes, that's okay. We'll let you in anyway. We're also going to have a chance for you to get your picture taken. We have a 50s prop that we're going to set up, and Matthew Bonner is going to be our photographer, and you can get your photo taken for the 50s at no charge. And we're going to have an auction. And if you've been to one of the Friday night dinners when Mike Zeman was the auctioneer, he does a really great job, and he's going to do that for us again. Now, in order to do all these things, we need your help. So I'm going to give you a list of things we need. And one thing I forgot, we are going to have a visitor from a very popular entertainer from the 50s. We're not going to tell you who that is, but it will be a surprise. On the bulletin board outside the church office are a couple of lists where you can sign up for some of the things that I'm going to tell you about. You can also contact Robin Stowers or myself. We're both working on this. We would like to cook the hamburgers and the hot dogs outside on grills. We have one here at the church, but we need a couple more. So if anybody has a grill that you are willing to lend us, we'll have to work out a get it here, but we would appreciate that. And if you'd sign up on that list or contact us, we'll go from there. We also need three cooks to man the grills to cook the hamburgers and the hot dogs. And there's a place for you to sign up for that. We're going to serve cafeteria style, so we need servers to stand behind the line. There's a place to sign up for that. And, of course, we need people to bake the goodies or fix the goodies for us for desserts. Peggy Clark is in charge of that. There is a sign-up place, and if you have any questions or need information, you can check with Peggy, and she'll have all your answers. As I said, we're going to have the auction. So look around at home, see what you have that you think somebody else might enjoy having. We are going to start on October 4th. You can bring them in Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 12 noon, and finish up on Friday the 16th of October, and we'll get everything all set then for the dinner. And we'll appreciate all of your contributions, believe me. I think I've covered everything. If you have any questions, or you want to see about tickets, I'll be standing back at the kitchen door after the service this morning. October 11th is the last day that we're going to have tickets available, and there won't be any available on the 17th at the dinner. We have to know how many we're going to have in order to get the meat and the various items. Okay, if you have any questions, I'll be back there after the service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much more detailed information about our upcoming hop. Be sure and look for those poodle dresses and skirts, I mean, not dresses, and the penny loafers, and I think I still have some loafers, but I think I can still get a penny in them. I'm not sure, but I think those of us who remember what the 50s were like, rolled up jeans and T-shirts with our sleeves rolled all the way up so you could put our cigarettes in the sleeves of them. Some of the Just to remind the younger folks who don't know what the 50s was like, that some of the things that went on back there in those good old days. Keep in mind, if you would, mark your calendars, it's in the newsletter, that the annual charge conference for our church will be on Sunday, October the 25th at Asbury United Methodist Church, and it'll be a joint conference with us in Fleming Island and Asbury. And also long-range planning is, we've mentioned it before, and it's ongoing, and if you'd like to serve on the committee that's assisting in the 50th year celebration, you may do so. Just contact the office. Homecoming celebration, as we will call it, will be the week of January the 29th through the 31st, in which we've asked our prior ministers to come and all of our previous members of Calvary, if they are able to be able to join us. And that will continue on with terminate with a block party on May the 1st. And we're looking forward to all the events that we have for that. The food bank will begin again on October the 9th at 11 o'clock, 11 to 2, and that we're asking for volunteers to sign up who would like to be a part of the food bank again. There'll be a meeting on October the 5th at 7 p.m., which is a Monday, for those who would like to be interested. Larry Rood is in charge of it, and those of us that have been on it before, he would like to know whether or not we would like to continue to be a part of that. And in conjunction with the food bank, he's requesting that if we have any unused coupons that we've gotten in the mail or in the newspaper, and we're not planning on using them, to bring those to the church so that they'll be available and we can give those out to the people who show up. Have I forgotten anything, or did anybody have any announcements from our congregation? Remember that we have our welcome cards. And we request that you, to have any guests with us today, to please fill that out and give us the information on yourself. And if members of the church would like anything for the church office to know about, please put that on those cards. Also, we have the prayer requests that you'll find in the pew. If you have any additional prayer requests, to fill this out. And if you have any praises that you would like for us to know about, fill that out also and put it in the collection plate. And for those that are active within the community, which I hope we all are, fill out one of our salty service cards just put it in the collection plate so that we'll know that you've been active within the community. Andy? Oh, sorry. About to get ahead of myself. You would. Take your worship elements, if you would, please. And we will read responsibly. Rejoice, God is with us.
Praise be to God who leads us each and every day.
God leads us into worship to strengthen our spirits.
God leads us in His service that offer peace and hope to others.
Praise be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord of joy and mercy, be with us this day as we seek your voice and your guidance. Remove the obstacles that block our commitment and help us to truly be your disciples. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Now, if you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, if you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Lord Reign in Me. Now, if you'll turn to page 880, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, incarnate the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On his third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever.
All right, how's everybody doing today? Now, do you know what I'm holding in my hand? It's an air freshener. And tell me what this air freshener does. What does it do, Maddie? It refreshes your car. You hang this in the window, right? In the front window, and it makes the car smell good. Do you want to smell it? You want to smell it? See what it smells like? Does it smell all right? Yeah? I just opened it, so you probably can smell it pretty good. I don't know if y'all can smell it or not. Anyway. It
smells like vanilla.
It smells like vanilla. You're right. It is vanilla. It smells really good. Y'all want to smell it?
All right. They need to have it waved around back here.
I need to wave the... And what is nice about the air freshener? What is nice about it? What is it, Maddie?
That's what I'm talking about.
You can cover over bad smells, and it makes a nice odor. Yeah? It cheers you up. It cheers you up if you're having a bad day because it smells nice, and that's a very nice thing. You know, this is a lot like being a disciple of Jesus. We bring good-smelling things. We bring hope and joy and peace and all those wonderful things because we're disciples of Christ. But I want to ask you a question. What happens after it's been hanging in the window for a very long time? What happens, John? It will go away. It fades, doesn't it? It fades. What, Maddie? It doesn't have a smell anymore. Do you think that happens to us sometimes as disciples, that we fade in our discipleship and we get a little bit lax and we forget about what we're doing and we don't remember to do things the way God would have us do them? We sometimes get lax about it. But let me ask you something else. Does God's love ever fade away? No, it never fades away. It's always there for us. Even when we are fading away, if our nice scent of discipleship is fading away, God's love is there, and we have no worries or no fears. No matter how far away we go from God, God is with us. God is there for us, and God loves us. And I want you to remember that. And you can get, unlike this, you can get your scent back. You can get your discipleship back from God, even though it fades away. But I just don't want you to ever forget that God's love never fades away for you. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, for the constancy of your love. No matter what happens, the power of your love is at work in our lives. Even when we don't see it or feel it or touch it ourselves, you are there. And we praise you for your goodness, and we pray that these young children will grow in your grace and favor all their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may have a piece of candy. You're welcome. You're welcome, sweetie. You're welcome. John? You're welcome. Did you find one? Okay, good. And I want to invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. We thank you, gracious God, that your love is always there for us, even if we move away from you. We pray your blessing upon every gift and every giver. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures.
Bob, can you pull up number 315, The River Is Here, on the PowerPoint? For special music this morning, we're going to sing a song called The River Is Here, and we're going to ask you to sing it with us, since you're the most important choir in the building.
Yay.
And anybody feels like a solo, just raise your hand. We'll, we'll come down to you with a mic. Miss Mary, solo? Miss Mary Stowers, you want to sing a solo? No? No. All right. And you don't have to stand up. You can sit right there and just sing.
As we prepare to enter a time of prayer this morning, I need to let you know of two passings. You may have gotten this over the one call this week, but Mark's mother, Lucy Gilmore, passed away on Thursday, I believe it was. And there are going to be a service planned for her here. And we think it's going to be Saturday morning. I don't know what time, Betty.
Maybe 11
on Saturday. Okay, we'll send out another one call about that. And then we had Naomi Cox Seaman pass away this week, too, the daughter of Gloria and Maynard Cox. She was in Colorado and not local, but she passed away after an illness this last week as well. I want us to enter into the silence for a moment to feel God's presence. God is with us, but frequently we don't hear or see or touch or know God's presence, but it's not because God isn't there. It's because we haven't been open to God's Spirit. And so I want us in the silence to let God speak to you and touch your heart today before we enter a time of sharing our prayers and concerns. Let us pray. Andy Haney. Glorious the grace that refuses to wait until we deserve or earn it. Glorious the grace that refuses to be rejected and that remains always available, always inviting. Glorious the grace that refuses to be confined to places of privilege or dignity, civility or decency. Glorious the grace that reaches where law cannot go, that embraces the comfortable and the untouchable, that is equally at home in palaces and shacks. Glorious the grace that is undiminished and undeterred by the variety of need, the diversity of the needy, or the myriad languages in which its message must be spoken. O Jesus, grace giver, we are in awe of you, and the grace which you offer to all, whoever we may be. In the name of the Son we pray, as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing "Change My Heart, O God."
scripture today comes from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 38 through verse 50. You'll find that on page 55 in your pew Bibles. You may follow along on the screen. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The word of God for the people of God.
Last Sunday, we had Tom Farmer come and preach for us and talk about the relieving of our debt. We have no more mortgage. We're free and clear. Yay. That was such a good thing. And that means we kind of have a new start. We can have a new beginning in our church. And that's kind of what I did yesterday afternoon. I restarted my sermon. And so I have a different one planned than the one I had originally planned for you. In the spring of 1980, Mount St. Helens, you may remember, most of us here remember, the 80s, if not the 50s, the 50s. Well, in 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. Earlier that year, the volcanic mountain in Washington State had been showing all the signs of getting ready to erupt. And all the experts had warned us about it. There was one expert who even went to the extent of saying that it was 100% certain that the volcano would erupt. Now, others weren't that sure, but they were sure enough to warn everyone anywhere on or around the mountain to get off and to stay off and to get away and to stay away. And most everybody listened, almost everybody, except for Harry Randall Truman. Mr. Truman lived at the south end of Spirit Lake at the foot of the mountain. His house was in the most probable path of the lava flow. If he stayed in his house, he was certainly going to die. And government officials warned him to leave. Friends told him that staying was suicidal. And family members cried and begged him to leave his house, all to no avail. Well, what happened? The mountain erupted. And when it did, the lava flowed right over the house with him in it. And Harry Randall Truman died because he could not let go of his home. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. If your house or your car or land or a boat or you can fill in the blank for yourself causes you to stumble, cut it out, for it is better to enter God's presence without it than to lose out on eternal life because of it. Today's gospel lesson is one that no one, well, almost no one, takes literally. Seriously, if anyone took it literally and were totally and completely honest in that literalness, the world would be full of one-eyed people on crutches eating with one hand. This is a text which must be taken seriously, but not literally. When Jesus uses hyperbole and exaggeration, it is like verbal highlighting. It's underlining. He really wants people to listen and think about what he's saying. And at this point in Mark, we've been looking at the Gospel of Mark for several weeks. We are in the midst of what scholars sometimes refer to as the Mark pivot point. This is a turn in Mark's story where he turns from showing Jesus as building up a following and preaching around in the north country to now showing Jesus explaining to his followers the very serious consequences of being a disciple. This is both a turn in how the story is told and a pivot in the story as Jesus turns south and he starts to head toward Jerusalem. And what happens in Jerusalem? He meets the cross. So it is a turn toward the cross. In the last few weeks, we've been considering the gospel lessons in which Jesus repeatedly reminds his disciples that just as he himself will face rejection, suffering, and death, so will they. To be a part of the kingdom, they must deny themselves, take up their cross of suffering for others, and follow in Christ's footsteps, wherever those footsteps might lead. And the disciples have consistently failed to get it. And we too fail to get it. In part, we fail to get it because this is just difficult to get one's mind around, mentally and intellectually. To get around this idea of self-sacrifice is not normal to human behavior. We are into self-preservation. We shy away from it spiritually. We resist it emotionally. We push it away because it calls for sacrifices that we are not willing to make. Like Harry Randall Truman, unwilling to walk away from his house in the face of certain death, we are unwilling to part with those parts of our lives that are keeping us away from the fullness of life in God. One of the reasons that Jesus makes a list here, he talks about the hand, the foot, the eye, is that everybody's different. That which is of value to one means nothing to another. The point is not the thing itself, not the hand, not the foot, not the eye, not the house, not the boat. The point is whether or not whatever that thing is, becomes more important to you than God. Martin Luther once commented on the first commandment. The first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me," by saying that the thing that we value and serve above all others is truly our God. It might be that missing piece that we're sitting on that Reverend Farmer talked about last week, but who knows what it is for you. That thing, it might be a good thing. It might be an important thing, but if it is more important to us than God in Christ, then it is an idol. It needs to be cut out of our lives for the sake of our souls. It could be family. It could be a political or social cause. It could be the church. It could be for clergy, our career in the church. It doesn't matter if it is an objective good in itself. If it gets in the way of our relationship with God in Christ, it must be removed. Well, I've been exaggerating just a little bit. These things do not so much need to be cut from our lives as put in their proper place in our lives. Family and church and career and social causes, those are all good things and glorious things. But the issue is whether or not they bring us closer to God or drive us away from God. And if they are driving us away from God, something needs to change, to be realigned in our lives. Our lives are out of whack, out of balance, if something becomes more important than God. He says it's about our saltiness. Jesus' image is an interesting one. He says salt is good. But if it has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Salt does what? It preserves. It gives flavor. It gives life. The salt of the Christian life is drawn from one's relationship with God in Christ. That's the salt. If something is getting in the way of that relationship, if something is causing us to stumble in our walk along the Christian way, we will begin to lose that which makes us God's people in the world. We will stop being the beacon of hope and love and fire that God made us for and intends for us to be. So this morning I ask you, what is getting in your way? What is more important to you than following Jesus? What is causing you to trip and stagger, to stumble and fall? And then the question we must ask ourselves in the church, as a body of Christ, what is getting in our way as a community of faith, as an assembly of those who are called around word and sacrament and at the same time sent into the world to do the good works God has prepared for us to do, to be salt for the world? What is causing us to lose our saltiness? And do we have the will and the courage to cut it out, to put it in its place? Or will we, like Harry Randall Truman, sit in our house stubbornly unwilling to give up something in exchange for everything? I hope not, because God is everything. Amen and amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we're going to sing "Trading My Sorrows." Very apropos for today.
Amen.
One, two, three, four.
think he did a pretty admirable job considering George wasn't here. Don't
Amen.
You think? Yeah. We thank you, Andy. We thank Ron Coleman for playing the drums this morning. Thank you, Ron. And for Joseph, who plays the bass so ably.
The three of us come close to George.
And the three of you together come close to one George, right? Yeah. Well, we miss George, but we are grateful for you. And we're grateful for you, too. Thank you. And as he said, this is the main choir. You are the choir. These are choir members, but church members sing every week. I love singing. I'm going to have a hymn at my wedding. Amen. I am so... I think, I believe...
Well, that's the groom, right?
Yeah, right.
I can't help it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. We understand. I won't say what I was going to say.
Good for you. don't let me get you in trouble.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. All right. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you now and always. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Turn signals.
Before you turn, before you break.